Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3.
69. Off.
Maury.
The duck, relative to the immensity of his weapon and doubtless more through cruelty than from taste, still fucked cunts with the greatest pleasure. So also did the president, but less frequently. As for the bishop, such was his supreme loathing for them the mere sight of one might have kept him limp for 6 months. He had never in all his life fucked but one, that belonging to his sister-in-law, and expressly to beget a child wherewith some day to procure himself the pleasures of incest. We have seen how well he succeeded. As regards Dorset, he certainly idolized the ass with as much fervor as the bishop, but his enjoyment of it was more accessory. His favorite attacks were directed toward a third sanctuary. This mystery will be unveiled in the sequel. But on with the portraits essential to the intelligence of this work. And let us now give our reader an idea of these worthy husbands' four wives. What a contrast! Constance, the duck's wife and the daughter of Dorset, was a tall woman. Slender. Lovely as a picture, and modeled as if the graces had taken pleasure in embellishing her, but the elegance of her figure in no way detracted from her freshness. She was not for that the less plumply fleshed, and the most delicious forms graced by a skin fairer than the lily, often induced one to suppose that, no, it had been love itself who had undertaken her formation. Her face was a trifle long, her features wonderfully noble, more majesty than gentleness was in her look, more grandeur than subtlety. Her eyes were large, black, and full of fire. Her mouth extremely small and ornamented by the finest teeth imaginable. She had a narrow, supple tongue, of the loveliest pink, and her breath was sweeter still than the scent of a rose. She was full-breasted, her bosom was buxom, fair as alabaster and as firm. Her back was turned in an extraordinary way, its lines sweeping deliciously down to the most artistically and the most precisely cleft as nature has produced in a long time. Nothing could have been more perfectly round, not very large, but firm, white, dimpled. And when it was opened, what used to peep out but the cleanest, most winsome, most delicate hole? A nuance of tenderest pink had shaded the sass, charming asylum of lubricity's sweetest pleasures. But, great God! It was not for long to preserve so many charms. 4 or 5 attacks, and the duck had spoiled all those graces. How quickly had they gone? And soon after her marriage, Constance was become no more than the image of a beautiful lily, wherefrom the tempest has of late stripped the petals away. 2 round and perfectly molded thighs supported another temple, in all likelihood less delicious, but too inclined to worship there. Offering so many allurements, it would be in vain were my pen to strive to describe them. Constance was almost a virgin when the duck married her. And her father, the only man who had known her, had, as they say, left that side of her perfectly intact. The most beautiful black hair, falling in natural curls to below her shoulders and, when one wished it thus, reaching down to the pretty fur of the same color, which shaded that voluptuous little cunt. Made for further adornment, I might have been guilty of omitting, and lent this angelic creature, aged about 22, all the charms nature is able to lavish upon a woman. To all these amenities, Constance joined the fair and agreeable wit, a spirit somewhat more elevated than it ought to have been, considering the melancholy situation fate had awarded her, for thereby she was enabled to sense all its horrors, and, doubtless, she would have been happier if furnished with less delicate perceptions.